What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, and this is our second with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. And we're back here with some more draft profiles for this upcoming draft, still looking at potential first round picks in this one, because this draft, more than many others, I could see going in so many different directions. We just did our own Locked On mock draft, where we got to play the GM of the Chargers and make the pick at 28. And going by what the other experts from the Locked On Podcast Network have said and who they think their teams are going to pick, we could see some names go before we think they might, and some targets disappear from the Chargers draft board earlier than they're expecting. So we're going to cover a lot of potential first round picks. And, you know, when you do that, you're going to be talking about guys who could go early in the second round as well, but would definitely get picked before your second pick. And I think we have three more here with Washington safety Taylor Rapp. Then we're going to move on to Arizona State's N'Keal Harry. And then we're going to finish things up with one of my favorite prospects so far, Nazir Adderley out of Delaware, home of Joe Flacco. All right, guys, well, let's go ahead and get into it. We've already told you some of the offensive and defensive line positions and gone over a safety as well. But we're going to start here with safety, talking about Washington's Taylor Rapp, a guy who, if you looked at the highlight film of him from his collegiate career, you would think, wow, that guy absolutely is a first-round pick. But when I broke down the film, I think it's very iffy if he's a first-round pick, and I think he does a lot of things extremely well, but might not be a good fit for the Los Angeles Chargers, especially at pick 28 with the guys who could still be left available. So, John, I'll go ahead and start with you on Rapp. I know that you're kind of iffy on him as well, and if you'd be okay with that pick at 28, tell me what you saw when looking at the Washington safety.
Well, I saw a guy who can hit and can tackle pretty well and can break on the ball pretty well, but he also tends to break on the ball early sometimes, especially if he's kind of deep and it's a running play. He'll tend to break on it a little early, which if you can make him fall for a play action, you might get a chance to beat him deep. So that's a little something that worried me. He was also really good on kickoff coverage. That guy can fly down there full speed and not care. He'll just throw his body into the returner or even the blocker. And when he ran into the returner, he brought the guy down. He tackles pretty well, but he also tends to take a good hit too. He's not one of those guys that really cares how big you are. He's just going to run full speed into you. And if you're a bigger guy, you're going to throw him on the floor easily just by lowering your shoulder. So that's another worry I have, because a lot of the guys he played against weren't exactly the biggest guys. But in the NFL, the guys you're going to be playing with definitely are the biggest guys, especially with the blocker in front of him. If he stays the safety, we sit on a blitz, and an offensive lineman gets in front of him, he's going to throw him on the floor, without a doubt. He also covers tight ends pretty well, too, which is something I like to see. But if you're going to talk about pursuit drills, which is a pursuit angle to meet a guy at a certain point so he doesn't burn you, he's not that great at a pursuit drill. If you run towards the edge, he will beat you at the edge. Not that great of a thing. He will get beat at the edge by any running back.
Yeah, I could definitely see some of those weaknesses when I was watching him. My biggest problem with it was that most of the time he was playing about 15 to 25 yards off the line of scrimmage. So even though he didn't get beat very often in deep coverage, it's hard to get beat when you're given that kind of cushion. And when you're giving that kind of cushion, you also have to be able to plant your foot in the ground and break in on the routes in front of you. And I didn't see a lot of him meeting receivers at the catch point. He is a very sure tackler. That was one of the things that stood out to me the most. I did not see him miss a tackle. And I think when he's coming downhill, John, and he has a good running start, I think he takes pretty good angles, but he's so deep that it makes it extremely difficult. I would think that he would be better off served as a near the line of scrimmage type of safety, something like we have seen from Derwin James and even Adrian Phillips if he was to play that kind of dime linebacker.
I was thinking the same thing as well.
Yeah, I could see him playing a dime linebacker where you can really shorten up those angles and give him a clear shot at a guy, because he is a very good tackler. He does make some big hits sometimes. He's not that much of a ball hawk, and he doesn't have a lot of great range. Those were the biggest drawbacks that I saw as far as the Chargers' specific needs, because we're not just looking for a safety, because we have an all-pro safety in Derwin James playing strong safety. The Chargers don't necessarily need a guy that's going to line up that close to the line of scrimmage. They need a guy that can be free safety over the top and cover ground in the middle of the field. And that's not exactly what I saw out of Taylor Rapp. David, what did you see as far as your scouting went with Taylor Rapp? Do you think he would be a good fit for the Chargers? And what did you like?
So first of all, I'll start with the pros on Taylor Rapp. This guy was a really dependable and constant player. You know, he played all 13 games, all three seasons while he was in school. And also, you know, he showed a willingness to do anything that you asked him. You wanted him to get in the box and blitz or, you know, provide run support, he was going to do that. You wanted him to play back in the free safety role, he was going to do that too. And he was going to do it, no questions asked. He's a great, he is at his best when he's reading and reacting with confidence. And he fits best as that box or run support and as a blitzer. Some of the cons I saw with him is he's a little small. He's 6'2", 208. So, you know, like John mentioned, if you get a bigger running back, he's probably, you know, has a good chance to running him over. Not some great speed, you know, really, you know, mediocre, honestly. Ran a 4.77 40-yard dash. Paired with that is, you know, he doesn't really have much elite athleticism either. And then, you know, this could be seen as a pro or a con, depending on how you see it. But he's a very conservative player. He's not going to go for the big play. He's going to mostly just go for the good play. Now, if he finds a coach that might be able to bring out some of that, you know, that dog in him, you might be able to see a different type of player. But as what we saw in college, he's more of the conservative guy. He's just going to go for the play he know he can make rather than the potential big play.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was talking about as far as he doesn't seem to meet receivers at the catch point and try to really contest balls that are in the air. And that's what scares me about him as a free safety. I did think his speed was better on game tape than it was probably in his 40 time, but it's a very straight line speed. And I think that's the other big drawback with him is a lot of his speed and when he's at his best is when he's just going in a straight line. He did have some pass breakups in coverage, but I don't think he would be able to get away with some of those plays at the next level. But he did play with great physicality. I do think he can play in the NFL in the right role. I just, in my opinion, John, I'm not using the 28th overall pick in the draft for it.
I would have to agree, not using the 28th pick unless it was probably the best option you would have at safety the rest of the night. But I'm sure there's going to be other guys that you can go after in the second or third round that'll be more value at the pick position. So I would agree you don't want to go with that at the 28th pick.
Well, and I think there's better picks than him that'll be available at 28 that are actually, you know, maybe more deserving of a first-round pick, one that we'll get into later in Nazir Adderley. But my assessment was pretty much the same as you guys. I think he can be good in the right situation. I just don't think the Chargers are that right situation. But, you know, when you have fans...
Definitely not.
Yeah, when you have fans watching highlight videos, though, of him at Washington, getting those forced fumbles, making big hits, you know, catching the ball off of deflections in plays like that, I could see why you'd want to get excited about it. I think he could be successful at the next level in the right position. But I do want to talk about maybe a position that's not as high on the Chargers' list of needs, and that is wide receiver. And one of the guys who will probably be there at 28 is Arizona State's N'Keal Harry. So let's go ahead and get into that right after this. All right, guys, it's now time for the next draft profile we're going to get into for potential first-round picks for the Chargers in 2019. And this guy was an exciting player to watch, and that is Arizona State's N'Keal Harry, wide receiver and big play maker. This guy made a ton of big plays for Arizona State. I mean, even coming in as a freshman, he was one of the better wide receivers in the country. And I think the thing that is most exciting about him are his big plays. He's not beating a ton of people deep with straight line speed and getting past people at the deep levels of the field. But in the open field, this guy is a nightmare to tackle. He has a pretty good athleticism. He has decent burst, but his body control and his ability to make contested catches with those strong hands was great. David, this was one of the most exciting guys I've watched so far, because when the ball is in his hands, he's just a joy to watch.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, what I kind of gathered while watching N'Keal Harry is that, like you mentioned, just has great ability to make the contested catch or make that big play. He's a big guy. You know, he's a 6'3", 228, you know, and has a pretty big catch radius as well. He can play either outside or in the slot. Doesn't matter. He gets yards after the catch, like you mentioned. When he gets the ball in his hands, he can make things happen. Does have some experience as a returner as well. Now, some of the negative things I saw about N'Keal Harry is he's not particularly quick. He doesn't really get that great of separation, and he's not the best route runner in the world. And then another thing I didn't really particularly care for is that he really wasn't too consistent of a blocker. When he's on, he's great. When he's off, he's just terrible, and he looks like he doesn't really care about blocking. So that's kind of what I saw from N'Keal Harry.
I definitely get what you're saying, especially as far as the route running goes. I thought he was an okay route runner, but a lot of times what I saw was his footwork got a little bit tangled up. He used some unnecessary steps to try to get into his break, as far as, you know, making one of those Keenan Allen cuts and just planting your foot into the ground and getting instant separation. So I think that problem will only escalate at the next level. When the players are much more physical and stay on you as much as they do, it's hard to get separation in the league. So I could definitely see that. But you're right, he can play outside. He can play in the slot. He does have that versatility. And when he gets those yards after the catch, I mean, he's just a playmaker. He's a catch and run type of player. And that's what I see him being in the NFL, as a guy who can take a short pass, make a few defenders miss, and get on the run. His speed is pretty good for a receiver of his size. His hand strength and his ability to be a red zone target really stood out to me. I mean, he uses his long arms to fully extend and catch the ball at the highest point, which is, you know, a much desired attribute of a wide receiver like that. John, what did you think about N'Keal Harry? I know you're the one that kind of brought him up to look at for this pick. What did you think when you broke it down?
I thought he was more of the big play, contested catch type of player. But other than that, he's not really that big on everything else. So, for example, he's not that great at getting separation when he's pressed. If he's pressed, he's going to wear that press all the way down the field. But if you throw a ball up to him, he will outjump a guy to catch that ball. So it's more of a, he's more physical and athletic and competitive when the ball is in the air, but as while he's running a route, or even as mentioned earlier, when he's blocking, he's not that competitive at that part of it, which was a worry to me. And then he could be a really good red zone threat. I know Arizona State didn't try to use him as much as a red zone threat, but he could really be that kind of guy. Arizona State tried to use him more on that deep route, big play type of situation. If he's in the NFL with the Chargers, he could probably be that red zone threat that we need, because Keenan Allen, as good as he is, can get double teamed sometimes. You got to have that backup guy to be your red zone threat, and that would be the guy to go to. But I also saw some problems here. Like, when he gets a catch, he doesn't have that urgency to get up the field after the catch. He's trying to make that play. He likes to go that east and west type of situation, which in the NFL is not that good to have. You're going to get tackled right away. Those guys fly up the field really fast and will get you right when you try to do that. And when he uses his downhill speed, it wasn't really much of a threat to anybody. He never really got anybody worried about his downhill speed. They were able to attack him right at his legs, or even at the line of scrimmage. If he caught a quick pass, they would go straight to the line of scrimmage and go after him and not worry about having to meet him at a certain point and let him get those 8 yards.
Yeah, I could definitely see those concerns, especially, you know, when he does catch the ball, like you're saying, he does have a tendency to completely stop his feet. I did see that on game film, which, you know, defenders in the NFL will close that gap much more quickly and aren't as susceptible to just run straight past you, as I saw defenders in college, especially in the Pac-12, try to do to him often. But I will say the one thing is about his separation, his deep speed, is he does use his body very well. So even though there's sometimes guys right on his hips, he does use his body and body control very well to kind of box them out like a basketball player. He just has good leverage. He gets his hands out, and if you can put it in the right spot, like Phillip Rivers likes to do, he would be able to be productive as far as getting catches in tight windows. But I do, you know, have some drawbacks with that, and I don't think he is the sure thing that he's such a great player that you take him at the end of the first round at a position that's not necessarily your biggest need. David, would you pick him with the 28th pick if it was your decision?
No, because I think we already have a guy that's in that mold that's on the roster, and Mike Williams. I think Mike Williams does a lot of the things that he does, maybe not as much with the East-West type of stuff, but you know, he is the, you know, contested catch type of wide receiver, that big body guy. No, I wouldn't take him with the 28th overall pick just because I think there are going to be other players available at that spot that are going to fill a more pressing need.
You always want to get value, and you don't only want to fill needs. So I would say if he was that game-breaking type of player, that you might be able to make an exception on him. And I think we're going to talk about at least one more receiver in the first round with Hakeem Butler out of Iowa State, who you could maybe make that argument for. But in my opinion, N'Keal Harry isn't the guy for the Chargers at the 28th pick, even though he is an exciting player. And I do think he will have success in the league. He's just not the guy the Chargers need right now, especially because Mike Williams is another guy who doesn't excel in getting separation. So I don't know if you could have two of those players, a little bit of redundancy on the field, and feel like you got that much better. I think you could find a wide receiver later, like Andy Isabella, a guy who could just absolutely stretch the field with blazing speed, that could still improve your roster and give you flexibility with that 28th pick. But there is one more guy I'm really excited to talk about in the next segment, coming from a small school, Delaware, and that is Nazir Adderley. So stay tuned for that. All right, guys, time to get into the last first-round prospect of the day. So excited to get to do these things. So fun watching these guys on tape and seeing what most of these guys are able to do against college-level athletes. I mean, in a vacuum, these guys all look like great players. But when you're talking about the 28th overall pick and you don't pick again till the second round, you have to get this pick right. So just because they're better than most of the people they're playing with doesn't always mean they're the right pick for the Chargers. But this guy might be the exception, and that's Nazir Adderley out of Delaware, the free safety who plays a lot of single high coverage and is just, I mean, one of the best players that I've watched on tape so far. I know John's not as bullish on him as I am, but what I saw from Nazir Adderley, even going up against subpar competition, was really good. I mean, he's a twitchy athlete. He has great change of direction, unlike Taylor Rapp, can close in a hurry, and really likes to make plays on the ball. He doesn't settle for big hits. If the ball is in the air, he is going to try to get to it. He's made some ridiculous catches in his career, 4 interceptions, and is just an overall playmaker that on every game that I watched looked like he was hands down the best player on the field at almost every time. So, John, I know that he's not your favorite pick in the first round, but what did you see from Nazir Adderley?
I love him athletically. His speed, his ability to break on the ball, his ball hawking skills, his ability to hit ball carriers and force some fumbles were all really good, but I feel like mentally he's not that disciplined. I saw a lot of times where he would get fooled by a quarterback looking him off and then hurry up and throwing back to the opposite side of the field he was looking at. He tended to fall for that a lot. And there was one play where I actually saw him break towards the side the quarterback looked at, and the quarterback threw it deep to it. I believe it was a tight end that got wide open, and Adderley got lucky because the ball bounced off the tight end and then into Adderley's hands as Adderley was arriving late. So he ended up getting an interception on that play, but if that tight end would have caught that, that was at least a 30 to 40 yard gain just right there alone. And then when he uses his pursuit angles, it's not really the greatest pursuit angle. He doesn't really locate where the ball carrier is going to be at a certain point that's good to meet at him at. He uses his speed too much as far as he thinks he's going to be outrunning everybody, which is great. That's confidence. That's that guy that says, I'm the best on the field. I'm going to play like it, but you have to have that discipline to know how to use that as well. And when he does his tackling, I've noticed that he doesn't really have that wrap up and take to the ground type of ability. He tends to put himself on the carrier and just wait until he drags the carrier down. I don't know if you've noticed that too, Wade.
I mean, I have at some points. I think that has been a concern for him. But for the most part, I've seen a pretty good form tackler. He doesn't often let guys get away, and he loves to drive through contact, which was one of my favorite things about him. I think one of the best quotes that I saw from a scout when I was doing my research was just he tackles with bad intentions. And I think that accurately describes him. Can he leave his feet sometimes and have, you know, missed tackle opportunities at the next level? I could see that, but for the most part, I didn't see a lot of issues with his tackling. I mean, he gets his man to the ground. What is it that you liked about him, though?
His speed, his ability to get from one side of the field to the other to absolutely be like a ball hawk, whether it's just to knock the ball away or even get an interception, was absolutely amazing to me. He flows really well, and he's so explosive. If he sees that it's a running play, he would explode to that run. It was amazing how fast he was able to get there. He's super athletic, and I absolutely love that about him. If he could become just a little bit more disciplined as a free safety, I would feel a lot more comfortable taking him. If he gets more disciplined, I would actually say this guy or Tillery needs to be our pick in the first round.
Most mock drafts that I've seen have Adderley going in the first round. So it lets you think that people think that he could iron out that part of his game. But just to see what he does, you know, when guys break on deep routes, when the ball is up in the air, his ability to really to flip his hips and just get out and start running full speed, I was very impressed by. David, what were some of the pros and cons that you saw out of Nazir Adderley in your draft coverage?
So for Nazir Adderley, he's a little, again, on the small side, 6 foot, 206. So, you know, that's something you definitely have to keep in mind when talking about this young man. But I love what you said about the hip swivel. I mean, he does it so effortlessly when he has to go track receivers downfield. It's something he really does well. Has the ball skills and coverage ability and the range to be able to cover sideline to sideline so he can be an effective free safety doing that single high if necessary. He's got a high motor, man. I love the way you know, he plays the game. He's at that nasty, mean type of streak that you know, really would love. He has I'm going to run you over mentality, which, you know, like I said, it's fun to see out of a safety. He's really strong too. I mean, he's fairly strong for his size. I mean, he will make contact and he's not going to give up. He might give up a little bit of space, but he's not going to stop. He's going to finish the tackle all the way to the ground. Has a lot of good experience too. He played all 4 years in college. Yes, it was a smaller school, which, you know, that's one of the downsides for him is, he was a big fish in a small pond. But so some of the things I didn't really care for or did not really like is, you know, he doesn't really have the best read and react skills when he's in downfield coverage. And he tends to kind of bite, you know, on the quarterback's eyes. He follows the quarterback's eyes and he's kind of susceptible to the play action when that happens. So he's got to clean that up at the next level. He doesn't take the best angles when he's trying to get to the ball carrier. And, you know, like I said, he gives up yards because he's a little bit smaller. Other than that, really liked what I saw out of Nazir Adderley. And to me, I feel like he's a perfect complement to Derwin James playing in the box and having Nazir Adderley playing that center field.
And I would like that, even though he's smaller, the great thing he does to make up for that is he always tackles for the legs.
Yeah, I mean, he is smaller, but he plays like a pit bull. I mean, he plays like a guy that thinks he's bigger than he is, and he just attacks with ferocity. And I think that was just the one thing that I saw from him that I didn't necessarily see from Taylor Rapp was just his aggressiveness. He's not afraid to go and get a ball for his team, and that's what I like the most. I have seen some scouts say, you know, maybe he'd be better for a team that runs some two-man zone where he can just be that deep safety and kind of track where the ball is going to go and break in on it from there, as opposed to being that one deep safety that has to hand off coverages. Like, John, I think you were mentioning a little bit. Is that kind of what you were talking about?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, my thing with Nazir Adderley that I would like to say basically is when I was watching him, I felt like I was watching the athleticism of Derwin James with the ability to be lost sometimes, like Hayes Pollard. That's basically what I saw. Like, he has all this athleticism. He's fast. He makes up for all this stuff. But sometimes he looks like he was trying to anticipate stuff, or he was getting a misread, or someone made a really good game plan to get him out of position, or a quarterback just looked one side of the field to the, and then heard look to the other side of the field and put him out of position. He just did it so easily, like Hayes Pollard would. But his athleticism that Derwin James basically has made up for it, and the ball hawking skills were absolutely ridiculous. He closed on defenders so quick, but in the NFL, they're a lot more disciplined at quarterback, and they'll know, hey, I look this guy over just for a half a second, that window will be there for me, and they will gun it at like 80 miles per hour to that defender, and they will not even come close to getting it.
I could see how you could come to some of that conclusions. I will say that I in no way saw any sort of Hayes Pollard out there when I was watching his tape. But I get what you're saying as far as sometimes, you know, being left in open space and following the quarterback's eyes. But luckily for me, I think those are traits that can be coached. And I think that's why I'm not as put off by them. Because as far as at least route recognition goes and his preparation, all of that seemed up to point. The way he's able to process things that are happening in front of him, he seems to do at a very high level. And his instincts to be able to, you know, take what his mind is saying and put that into action and put his foot down and close gaps in a hurry, that was one of my favorite parts of his game. So I would actually be fine with the Chargers taking Nazir Adderley at the 28th overall pick, especially considering what might be gone at that point. There are absolutely other players I would take ahead of him, and every year good players drop, but I would be okay with them taking Nazir Adderley, because I think even at the FCS level and playing against lower competition, I just think he shows some intangibles and playmaking ability and quick twitch muscles that you just can't teach. I mean, those things aren't teachable. That's just something that he owns. And I love those intangibles from him. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. I think we're going to have one more show of first round prospects before moving into, you know, second and third round guys that we would like to see. But I think that you can see now that we are looking at, you know, safety, offensive tackle, and defensive tackle in the first round. So we'll get later on into other rounds and the rest of the first round prospects in the next show. But until then, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. We're about to hit 1,000 followers, and we'll do a giveaway when we hit that mark. More details to come, but make sure you go follow us at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers. Also, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. We will play every phone call on the show. We also want to send a shout out to Brian from Westminster, who gave us a voicemail, but we're going to wait till we get a couple more so we can do a full segment on him. But Brian, we will absolutely play your voicemail on the show, and you can get your voice on the show by calling 323-524-7924, or even texting to give your thoughts on who the Chargers should draft in the upcoming NFL draft. So make sure you call that number, 323-524-7924, to get your voice on the show. And the best way to listen to the podcast is by getting in your car and telling your smart assistant, play podcast Locked On Chargers. It'll always play the latest episode and is perfect for your daily commute. But we will talk to you guys later. Make sure you subscribe to us on Himalaya or iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from, and leave us a review. We would really appreciate it. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.